Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
It's horrible.
It is warm.
My living room is so fucking...
Yeah, I've had to close my windows to record this. I hope you're grateful for it. It's the IGN UK podcast. I hope you're grapefruit for it instead of grateful.
If we are including this, can I just cut back to the fact that Dale just went, my living room's so cool.
Yeah. From a temperature standpoint, no sun comes in here.
It's cool in here.
It's nice.
Why
and chill.
Wouldn't we use this? This is gold, and I think this may already be the peak of the podcast. Welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I'm Simon. There's Joe.
Hello.
There's Dale.
Hi.
What I can hear is my mum shouting in the other room.
What's she saying?
I can hear your mum shouting and all.
What's she saying?
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm just going to go tell her to be quiet. Give me a minute.
Are you actually? Yeah. Can we keep this in?
Yeah.
Like, keep it in.
Whoever's mix it, turn up the mic, Cardi's mic, so we can hear it.
I really want... Shh. Oh, I was hoping he'd be one of those people who's like, Mom!
Don't
keep it down and podcasting in here!
Some people.
Unbelievable.
I didn't even have to say anything. Just walked in and I got a thumbs up. She knew.
Really?
I'm getting one of my...
Yeah. You're the king of that house.
Reign of terror in your house.
Yeah. Look, I said, it's like we book in the studio. I booked in an hour and a half slot where I was like, can everyone upstairs just be quiet?
Did you send her the Google Calendar link?
To be fair, that's my fault. I didn't do that. I thought words would suffice. But there you go. So yeah, I'm in a little sweat box of a room because the windows are closed. Not like Dale's really cool living room.
Yeah, it's well cool.
I'm conscious of the fact that yesterday I was using... Because I use my phone as a webcam so that we can all see one another. But my phone got so hot yesterday that it literally shut itself down so it didn't break. So there is a chance that I will just disappear at some point. Not vocally, just visually.
No, that's a shame.
Deprivation.
What's going on?
The days are blending into one.
What?
Dan Kilby's constantly slacking me. I'm trying to podcast, mate. I know you listen to this. Stop slacking me in the past.
Dan Kilby's doing important work for me, actually, because he's trying to find out why the UK government keeps promoting IGN's tweets.
Okay. That is bizarre. Have you seen that? Yeah, I've seen that a few times now.
It's a good thing.
It's happened with a few games outlets. But yeah, apparently... like at IGN, the core IGN account with millions of followers keeps getting promoted by the UK government. They were talking about Final Fantasy VII the other day.
Glad to see my tax money is going to good use.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
I mean, your tax money is now straight back in your pocket, essentially.
That's a good
point,
you've
won.
It's the circle. It's coming straight back.
I've run out. No, I've not run out of steam. I've got bundles of energy. This week, I gave Overwatch a 10. That's what I did. Because some things in the world need to be corrected. No, that's not how you should look at it. I was originally going to do this little look behind the curtain. Was going to release this about 7 months ago. But then there was a lot of business going on with Blizzard at the time. And it probably wasn't the best time to do that.
It worked out timing-wise with the last hero,
exactly.
Though, right?
It is the 4-year anniversary of Overwatch next week, and they just released their last hero, Echo. So the game is, Overwatch 1 anyway, is as complete as it'll ever be. So
are they going to stop doing updates for like balancing issues and things like that? Is it just complete?
No, so it's getting all the PvP updates that Overwatch 2 gets.
Right. Yeah.
Those are essentially cross-platform games.
But before Overwatch, this the last addition to the roster before Overwatch 2, so we thought 4 years later, let's do a re-review. And yeah, I think it's a masterpiece of a game. I'm sure not everyone agrees, but it is probably the best game I've ever played. So if I don't give that a 10, what can I give a 10, Joe?
Why are you asking me?
I don't know, I was
Am
just
I
looking
charge?
At you.
Could I have made sure that you got a 9?
Yeah. No.
Damn it. Just to upset.
It's just... I know we've talked about Overwatch enough, so I'll keep it brief. It's just the most fun I've ever had with a game. And never... I don't think I've ever... I normally get bored of games after a while. Never have I played a game consistently for over 3 years. Mm. And I don't know. It's just a magical game for me. I don't know what it is. It's just makes me feel good. Maybe it's because I'm good at it. And when you're good at something, you enjoy it. Well, I do anyway. I'm not very good at enjoying things I'm bad at. I don't know if people know what I mean by that.
Well, I know what you mean by having played games with you where you're not playing well.
Because I get annoyed with myself very easily. It's just...
Not always good at it, though.
It's just good, isn't it?
You just said before you were really good at it. No, but I mean, there was a recent video series that we did where we weren't particularly good at it, if you remember.
We got out-comped, and you have to applaud that.
We got our asses handed to us, and I was really hoping it would never make it to the public view.
Yeah.
I can't actually remember. I haven't been able to watch that video because I'm so angry about how that day went. Did they keep in the bit where I was physically shaking with adrenaline?
I didn't watch it either.
They show the bit when you're talking, you talk about physically shaking. I don't know whether they actually show you.
There was a bit where I tried to pick up a glass of water and it was just like, because I was just so fucking hyped, ready
to
fight.
You don't know
what
this video is. We did play our old friends, RKG, at a few games. The third game was Overwatch, a 3-on-3, and yeah, we didn't do very well.
No.
It will forever be a stain on my career. But just to prove I can play it, watch my video review. There's a few decent clips. So just please, I can play it, I promise.
I did do an edit of Cardi's review, and I did point out that how much of that review was centered around you saying how good you are at the game.
Look, I need people to know.
You do have to make clear that you're good at a game, therefore you are qualified to talk about it. But there were so many times where it's like, of course, I round the corner again as McCree and get a team wipe, and that's why it's a 10.
That's not quite where I bet it. You're halfway there. It's just a good game. Should we play it? Not now.
No.
But... I know you're off it, Dale. Always rope Joe back.
For a game that I'm not interested in these days, there was a period where I played it for not as much as you, but 300 hours or so. So I understand completely where you're coming from with your review. It is an incredible game. It's just something that I just started to move off from. That's all.
I'll dip in every now and then when our little team is together. But most of the time I kind of find myself going, I could wait for Overwatch 2 now. Just have a little break and enjoy myself.
Still don't know when it is, but I'm just hoping. Yeah, I'm hoping all the PvE stuff is actually good, because that's my main worry. Is that a lot of people are already saying it's just Overwatch 1.5, which to an extent I can understand why people think that. But I hope they prove people wrong and that there is a lot of stuff in there, because that's the main worry. Cool. Yes. Do you know what? There's a lot of stuff in though. Call of Duty Warzone.
Yeah.
There's this week, Joe, the bunkers have been opening.
They have. I still haven't actually opened one myself, which upsets me.
Because I haven't played in the last couple of days, which is a crying shame, but I'll rectify that. But yeah, inside these... I watched a video. To get into one of those bunkers, I think it's Bunker 11, you have to do a series of convoluted things, which... are hard enough to do. You have to find three different telephones with Morse code on them. But first you have to translate Russian.
That's to get into the deeper portions of that bunker. So you can get... What people found out is that after a patch this week, there's these 11 bunkers on the map that people have been talking about forever because they've got big red lights and they look like they're meant to be able to get in. Or green lights. Some have green, some have red, I think. Anyway, and then in a patch last month, the people started... finding red access cards that did nothing. So people were like, what the fuck are these for? Are these for the bunkers? And then this patch actually let you use them on them. And they open up, they've got tons of loot in them, and they just look like bunkers. And everyone was like, oh, okay, great. But then someone worked out through clipping that you could get a recon drone behind the map and started looking around inside Bunker 11 specifically, which has a nuke in it.
Ooh, yeah.
And everyone thinks what's going to happen is the map's going to get nuked, and then it's going to turn into a teaser for the next Black Ops game. Black Ops Cold War, as it's apparently called. And they've data mined like 60s era spy planes and stuff like that that would be in a Black Ops Cold War game.
That's the cool thing they've said, the Warzone, they plan to continue it as its own thing and that it will align with each year's Call of Duty games as it progresses. And that's a cool way of doing the thing that Fortnite and Apex do, which is adapt the maps over time.
Which I didn't realise Call of Duty Mobile was doing already.
Oh, like, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm off base with that. From my understanding, they have been at least sort of referencing new Call of Duty games inside the mobile thing. So now their plan is to have annual releases plus mobile plus Warzone as a sort of triangle structure of how Call of Duty progresses over the years. And I'm kind of into that. Like, I was sad. I didn't play Blackout for that long, but I was sad that that was like a battle royale with an expiry date. Because if you're super into it and that structure, then like it's just gone. It must be weird.
Well, so to get into Vault 11, have you seen the series of things you need to do?
Yeah, it's bizarre. Like, so you need to find a phone, listening to Russian.
Yeah, you need to find a phone, and then someone will say three numbers in Russian, which you need to then translate. And then each of those numbers relates to 10 different phones around the Warzone map that you then need to go to in order. So it's like a puzzle game within Warzone. That's hard enough to do, never mind the fact that people are constantly killing you as you're trying to get around that map.
Yeah,
so like I suppose I've seen people do it. The best way to do it is via the blood money mode where you just respawn, so you don't there's no permadeath. But yeah, once you're in there, there's a secret SMG which you can get a blueprint for, which is very nice. But yeah, as you said, there's also these like launch screens and a nuke, and it's all, I do like it very much, and I'm big into my Cold War stuff, so I'm looking forward to whatever that Black Ops will be.
I don't know how live that game is, in the same way that Fortnite, if you turn on at the same time as people during an event, everyone will see it. But I would totally, like, I'm always impressed with Fortnite. I love reading about it. I love what it's doing. I just have no interest in playing it. But because I actually like playing Warzone quite regularly, I will 100% tune in to watch that map get nuked if it happens. Like, if they have live events, I will be so ready for it. I can't wait.
Let's all gather around and watch the nuke.
That's very 2020.
But yeah, it's very cool. I love things like that. And also in Warzone, I mean, we haven't gotten to the most important bit of Warzone yet, Joe.
No, absolutely not.
Which is a piece of clothing that you've, simply put, I think fallen in love with.
I absolutely have fallen in love with Yegor's jacket, specifically the pink one. I've talked about it. This must be the fourth or fifth time I've mentioned this on the podcast.
But now you've got all the facts.
Yeah, now I've actually interviewed Infinity Ward studio art director Joel Emsley specifically about the jacket, and he was very kind about it.
They must have been so confused, because they must have so many interview requests, and I bet all of them at the moment are like, "What's the nuke? What's the Cold War stuff?" And then you come in saying, "Tell me about the jacket."
How'd you do wind so good on a jacket? But basically, I just wanted to know why they bothered making it look so good. Like, it doesn't make sense to me why you would put so much effort into it. So he kind of explained that they'd done like a big test where they built the Isle of Skye. And obviously the Isle of Skye has loads of wind on it, so they did loads of wind tests and then thought it looked really good. But it got into this like wider thing about how bizarre the, you know, like, we're getting to a point where graphic or visual fidelity in games is so high that to replicate real life you have to use real life. So they've started scanning props, which means that there is a real Yegor's jacket somewhere in the world.
Is it pink though?
Well, that's it. It could be, because I think the standard is blue, right, so they might have recoloured. But I'll take any old Yegor's jacket. I said in my piece, I will buy it from Activision when they're done with it. I want Yegor's jacket. But it's like, just fascinating little bits where they, obviously the scans come in clean because you're just scanning the shape of something. So you need artists to then subsequently dirty up and make it look worn. But they realize that artists trying to make something look worn makes it look obvious that an artist has done it.
Definitely.
Because they want to make it look good. So instead of that, they'd go like, just take those boots that you're trying to draw mud on and go for a walk and then come back and draw the mud that happened while you were on your walk. And you're like, that's fucking cool. Like, it must be bizarre to be a game artist these days. Because you're just like, my job is to drag this helmet through some mud for a bit. Yeah, I just thought it's like a really fascinating little conversation about how much unseen work goes into game design on AAA scale these days.
Yeah, it reminded me a bit of when, I think it was about 2 years ago now, me and Dale went to Playground for Forza Horizon 4, and we just spent like one afternoon just in the sound recording booth, and the guy was just, I could have listened to him for hours just talking about how he just stood in like a meadow in Scotland recording wind. It's like, you never think of those things of like, and they just went up to like Edinburgh to record the exact sounds of the cannons and stuff like that.
That's
just
cool.
Like everything like that, you never really think of. Like, just I think in films you think about that a lot, like Foley, and you think about obviously the score, and like think about all the people making the costumes, but yeah, like you said, people never in games think about costume design as much or anything.
I think
like
in films though, it's you know, you have a very, we need this sound, we need this sound. It's very A to B sort of thing. With a game, you've got so many variables as well. You need to get so many different versions of a tire going through mud for every different weight of a car and stuff like that.
When I went to Rare, I've been to Rare a few times, mostly for Sea of Thieves, and one time they took us round to the sound department. Actually, I think I've been to it twice. The guy who runs it, I think he's called Robin, I can't remember. He does amazing videos on Twitter. He did one of him playing like by himself, one-man banding the Animal Crossing theme tune. It's amazing. But he sort of took us in, and he showed us the actual instruments that, you know, you can play instruments in Sea of Thieves, and he showed us the actual instruments, so he was playing them.
I think I have a video of this, Joe, by the way.
Oh, I think, I think that was the first time we went. The second time, he did this big long chat where he was like, so this is the hurdy-gurdy. We needed to work out how a hurdy-gurdy would sound underwater, because in real life, it would not make a sound underwater. So it's just like making up fake instrument noises. Then he took us into another room. He points at this big piano and goes, what do you reckon we do with that? And the whole group of people who are in there goes silent. Because it's so obvious he's building to something that is not playing the piano. But what he wants is someone to say it. So eventually I just broke and went, you play the piano? He goes, no! Gets two drumsticks and starts smashing the strings. Just like battering this piano. It was fucking amazing.
What sound effect was he trying to get there?
That's for the drama of seeing an enemy ship on the horizon. Like, okay. You get a big stab of like boom noise.
I love watching Foley artists work, like how they come up with these ideas.
Absolutely. So like, they've got a sand pit in their sound studio so that they can make beach noises and stuff. It's fucking brilliant. Must be so good.
One of my favorite things in recent games from Sea of Thieves is the megaphone you can get.
Oh my god.
That is one of the best sounding in-game things of it, because it makes you just sound ridiculous.
Yeah, because it's putting an audio effect on your chat. It's really weird. Like, it's so cool.
I always think about, I should jump back and give Sea of Thieves a go, but it's one of those, I'm not going to do it by myself, and yeah, I don't know, every time I jump back in I'm like, I want to love this, but I get bored.
I've still not played it properly since they added like the actual campaign stuff, the Tall Tales, and I really do want to do that because it sounds fucking amazing.
Should we get some pirates together? Let's do it. Let's just,
because they've just made changes so that it makes it harder for people to come and gank you and ruin it as well. Oh. So like, it's a bit more like it's a bit more like playing a single player game or co-op game with your mates now.
Yeah,
which I think is cool.
Let's do it. That's a plan. That sounds like a nice thing to do. Do you know what isn't a nice thing to do? Consistently harass and tweet at people until they break and give you what you want, or in this case, no one actually wants.
somebody wants to make a lot of money, mate.
There's this huge, we're talking about the Snyder Cut. Yeah. there's this huge movement that clearly exists, but I don't know where it exists, because when we put up the news about the Snyder Cut last night, the response was overwhelmingly negative.
Yeah.
Like, it's no one that I can see who at least likes IGN actually wants the Snyder Cut. Like, 100% I'm going to watch it because I think it's going to be an absolute train wreck.
Yes.
They're putting $30 million into re-editing what is obviously a bad film.
You can't re-edit acting.
I mean,
you
can't re-edit reality. I guess it's CG as well that they need to put into it, right? There's going to be loads of scenes that weren't developed.
The problem with this film wasn't it needed a re-edit. It was just bad.
There were elements where you go, yeah, stuff's been cut out. Like, the Superman stuff's absolutely bizarre in that film. But, like, there's so much more wrong with it.
Yeah, the main thing wrong with it for me was that it kind of came far too soon. You needed the Marvel thing of another 10 films before this. Yeah, they're not going to make another 10 films with that money, are they?
It was also just a poorly put together film across the board, really. I think fans have sort of romanticized this idea of this version existing, that's the one that they truly wanted, and they believe this is the answer, and the reality is it's not the answer, but they're going to tell themselves it's the answer anyway.
As was pointed out quite a lot yesterday by commenters, this isn't the Snyder Cut. Like, the Snyder Cut was a 4-hour cut that existed ages ago, and Snyder admits that it wasn't good. Like, this is a new Snyder Cut. Like, it's not even the thing they were asking for.
I've seen the problem. Go on.
It's the conspiracy theory mindset, like, accidentally bleeding into this, because what fans should actually be doing, if they're going to be demanding maniacs, is... Hey, if you are a Snyder Cut fan, I would love you to write into us. You may be not a maniac, maybe that was overstating it, but I would love to know why you're interested in it, because I don't get it. If you're a real fan, what you'd ask for is better DC movies, not the same one that was already bad, that you think is bad, done a bit differently.
I mean, like, I think this sets a bad precedent as well, because it sort of forces the hand of companies now to react to these fan movements. Remember when they had the one to remake The Last Jedi as well? Like, what if Disney had buckled into that? It's like,
well,
then,
like
then
the
what
Mass
is art anymore?
3 thing as well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they buckled in a different way with that one. Yeah. But never mind.
But at least it was something in the future, not changing the original vision of it.
It's only a matter of time before it happens with Star Wars properly, and people are like, we either want a new Rise of Skywalker, or we just want a new trilogy, or we just like... it's just going to be maddening.
The only one I can get behind is releasing the actual original trilogy and not the special edition versions of it. Because those films did exist at one point, and I would like to watch them in their original
that
form.
That requires a lot less work. Yeah. And it's not also not just completely ruining someone else's art and pretending it didn't happen.
I think a big catalyst for this, and part of the problem maybe, is the Sonic the Hedgehog reaction. Because... for all sense of purposes, that, you know, that was a success, right? They made a better version of Sonic, and now big companies can look at it and say, oh, if we listen to the fans, we can actually get better results off the back
of that. I hope this is a harsh thing to say, but I kind of hope that this comes out, it's a fucking disaster, everyone hates it, and then it just resets this mindset.
Absolutely.
I don't think it will, but I hope it does. Can I read you my favorite tweet that we got in response to this news?
Go for it.
Yes, go on.
I think Cardi's already seen it, but it's from someone called Where's the Beef 95, who wrote to IGN straight afterwards. I genuinely think this is brilliant. Like, I think this is such a great way to put it. It's like, the film will still be shit, but it's cool to see him finish his film. It's lost media. That's dope. Again, I can't stress this enough. This film will be shit. Wouldn't surprise me if it's even worse than Whedon's cut. And that is basically how I feel about it. It's like, I do wish Zack Snyder hadn't had tremendous, horrible personal problems during that thing and didn't get to finish his film. Like, it's cool that he gets to do that on a personal level, but it's going to be rubbish.
Yeah. If you are excited for the Snyder cut, I always want to say Schneider. It's just like,
just loves a Wesley.
I have to double check in my mind to say Snyder. If you are looking forward to that, please tell us what they could do to that film within reason to actually make it good.
Even if it's not in within reason, I'm interested in the non-reasonable responses. I was perhaps overstating it when I was being rude about the people who want it. I do think it's insane. But I don't necessarily think you're insane. No. So I would love
unless
to hear
you were
it,
someone
you so.
20 times a day harassing people for it.
Oh yeah,
then you well, are a maniac.
I like to think you wouldn't be listening to our podcast if you're one of those people because you've got too much on.
Do you think they're going to change much of the final third of that film? Like, are they going to remove the fact that it's in a location that
I
never feels
can't...
like it's actually Earth at any point?
Oh, it's supposed to be Russia, isn't it? Because there's that Russian family running
all the
from
sky's
Stephen Wolf.
Red. It's just like
I love Stephen Wolf.
What a bizarre film. Do you know what? It wasn't even as bad as Batman vs. Superman.
No, it wasn't. So,
if you think
I've
how
still
bleak
never
that was,
watching that.
It's bleak.
I just think that one's just more boring. It's just so long
yeah.
and boring.
At least, I will say that about Justice League. It was at least pacey. Probably far too pacey.
Yeah.
But it there wasn't are, slow.
It there was... are like three jokes in it. That's fine. Yeah. Yeah. It's better.
Yeah. I quite enjoy Aquaman. It was a semi-enjoyable character.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Agreed.
The Flash? No.
No.
Cyborg? Barely remember.
Booyah. That's what you have to remember.
Booyah. good. Anyway, they've just said a month. They've not even said a month, have they? It's just 2021.
Yeah, 2021.
Yeah. It's coincided with the launch of HBO Max, right? That they said that?
I don't know if it's
HBO Max
coincide.
Is this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's soon.
I thought that was one of their key tactics to get in subscriptions, I guess. It is, but just not a launch, I guess.
God knows how much they've paid for that. But it's happening, so I suppose we'll have to deal with it.
Great.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff we can enjoy right now, despite this overwhelmingly luscious weather we're having. I don't know what I'm on about anymore.
Is it overwhelming?
It's a bit, isn't it? Well, it is when you can't use it.
Okay.
You're just looking out. Bought some Soleros yesterday. That'll Ooh. Help. Anyone a fan of a... What's your favourite ice lolly?
Ooh, I haven't had one in a long time.
I think the most refreshing one's probably an orange Calippo.
Are we saying... Wait, are we saying lolly as in non-chocolate and ice cream?
Yeah, let's go let's go more fruit-based.
I think it's with Calippo. It gets... By the end of it, it's a very sticky affair, isn't it?
Yeah, but the juice at the bottom is the best bit. Mm.
Yeah, I think, well, Solero's a halfway house. I like a Solero.
I like a Fab.
What about?
Big fan of the
Was
Fab.
It the Solero? They had the Solero shots, didn't they? The little pellets. They were great.
Calippo shots, they were. Now.
Calippo shots, that was it.
Yeah, they were good.
Oh,
classic, they were good. Classic Rocket as well. They're good.
I never got into the Rocket.
Just trying to think what else.
I like those. I like those. Good. Yeah, I like those really cheap ones that are just clearly like bad blue juice in a cube that you chop the top off.
Did you ever make
so
your own?
What
just
do you call
pour
them?
Pour orange juice into molds.
Say again.
What do you call them? Because they're very regional, like name based, aren't they?
I have no idea. I just call them like tube lollies.
So I called them tip tops.
Tip tops. Yeah. That's good.
Are we talking about ice pops?
It might be.
Know.
Like,
you know where they're like 2 foot
pops,
long,
they.
Thin, plastic sheathed.
They were either ice pops or ice poles.
Yeah, so everyone's going to write in now telling us what they call them. Cause
please let us know what you called your ice pops.
Ice pole, pop, tip top.
But you would just, what would happen was you'd just suck on those for like a few seconds and it would just, all the juice would come out and you'd just be left with ice.
My memory of them is cutting my lips on them because like the edge was
really,
so sharp.
Really sharp plastic. Yeah.
But they were only like 10.
And the blood made it taste so good.
I wonder if those three, I can't remember last time I did look in a newsagent's freezer, to be fair. But
I went
and still
did
exist?
Last week.
They must
have. I had a Magnum Double Caramel, which is the greatest ice-based treat there is.
This week I've had a bizarre... I said this to some people the other night. I feel like this lockdown has made me feel almost like... You know when people are pregnant, they say they have those weird cravings for things?
You say that as if that's like a fake... thing that they
no,
do.
No, no, no. I know it's
saying
a thing.
That they require beef burgers.
Yeah. I know it's women. A thing.
They also say they get sick in the morning. I don't know if I believe that either.
Lies, all of it. But yeah, I've had the weird craving this week for a frozen froob.
Oh, yes.
Because it's been a long time. So I might try and get some froobs in.
Yeah,
I would love to see you sucking on a frozen froob.
What is he sucking on a froob?
Well, maybe next week, because this week I've been doing a lot this week, actually, in my spare time. Been doing some work as well. Have been doing that. Just want everyone to know that. Yeah. But I know, Joe, you briefly mentioned What the Golf last week.
Yeah.
I have 100%ed that game.
I stopped for a while because my fucking Joy-Cons are broken, but we'll carry on.
That is a brilliant game. I know it came out months ago and a lot of people have already played it, but I think it comes out on Switch today or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this.
Oh, yesterday, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. That is just a brilliant game. I had a great time, and it's not that short either. It took me 8 hours to 100% it.
Especially some of the harder challenges as well, with the crown challenges. Like, they can take a lot of time, some of the late... Oh, I don't want to say what genre it is, because spoil it. Yeah.
Most of the joy of that game is just not knowing what's coming next.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some of the genres are incredible, though. Like, where
it's amazing. Some of the mashups they have with other games.
I just finished an area that I will term the space area that I thought was so good.
Yeah.
I just loved that format. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was a challenge at times, but it was never... It's so difficult sometimes to balance that. It could so easily just be irritating at times, the challenges. Yeah. But there was only one or two where I was like, this is slightly getting annoying. But
yeah, I've had one where I failed repeatedly.
Basically, any involving sheep, I'm not a fan of.
I don't know if that means anything to me.
There's one of those that's very hard.
It's a while since I played it, but I remember ones where you have... Oh, God, I can't say it. Can't say it because I might ruin it for Joe, but there's some later ones where you obviously have a very strict number, what you have to, and you have to plan out the puzzle of it. You have to, I need to achieve this by this number. And it's a fantastic game. I've never got to 100% of it, though, because I got to 80%. 80-ish percent, and the game just wouldn't work on my phone anymore. Every time I boot it up, it crashed.
Oh,
so I just had to stop playing it. It was really frustrating.
But yeah, I cannot recommend that game enough, because it is brilliant. I've also had the weird urge, I've had these cravings. Maybe something's happening to me. But I've started replaying The Curse of Monkey Island, which is the third one in the series, the 2D, cartoony-like one. And I forgot. It's been a good few years since I played a Monkey Island game. I forgot how good they are. They're just incredible games. And even though that third one isn't the most loved, I've always loved it. I think it was probably the first one I played when I think about it.
That's the one that I sort of dropped off with the most. I think it's because it was a radical change from what the first two was. It sort of put me off a little bit.
I'm about halfway through it. It's bizarre. I probably haven't played that game in, I'd say, about 15 years.
But you
can just breeze through it. Like, there's only one or two times I was like, I don't know the exact solution to this puzzle and where to find everything. And I don't think it's because it's not too easy. I just bizarre memory for that game. And then
the puzzle solutions
as well.
The puzzle solutions are always very unique as well, though. So it's quite easy to remember some of them. Like,
if you, they're all on Steam and everything. If you've never played Monkey Island, I could never recommend something enough to someone. Than playing Monkey Island. Joe, have you ever played Monkey Island?
Yeah, I played them all, mate.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
You're the kind of guy who might have a bit of just a blotch on himself like that. You know what I mean?
Don't ever talk about how I make blotches on myself. That's between me and my trousers.
I've also been jumping back into Apex because season 5 just started. I haven't played with Loba yet, the new character who's essentially just Sombra from Overwatch. But I have the new map. It's not the new map. They've brought back the original map, but it's nice to jump back in there, and they've disrupted it again, doing the old battle royale trick of lifting, like demolishing parts of the island and putting new bits in. Played a few games last night with Blessing from Kinda Funny and got a win.
Nice.
So it's always good when you get a win, because I don't think there's... I know I said Overwatch is maybe the most satisfying and fun game I've ever played, but when you get a win in any battle royale, there's just that rush of something that goes through your body where it's like, it's almost a relief. It's like, it can be done.
Yes.
Like, especially, I think Warzone is the one that gets me the most in battle royales when you get a win, just because... It's very difficult to do, especially because is it 50 teams, I think, in a Warzone game? There's like 40-odd in a quad, but just the odds are against you so much. But yeah, I there's no better feeling at the moment than getting a Battle Royale win. Have you got one before, Dale? You're not really a Battle Royale boy,
are you? No, I mean, I think my problem with in the early days was it often felt like it took so long to actually get involved, and then by the time I got involved, it'd be over in an instant, and then it's just going through the whole process.
You can have that with some. I think that's what's great about Warzone is, though, rarely ever do you have a full minute without something happening.
Mm. Yeah, like the contracts particularly are like a way of just turning one long round into lots of mini missions, and I think that's a really nice way of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
It's very good. Do you know what? I watched all of Dave on. It's all on BBC iPlayer. Are you guys familiar with Little Dicky, the rapper?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, well, he is a rapper from Philadelphia. He is a white man, which is his whole shtick. He's a genuinely really good rapper, though. And he kind of walks that line between being a very good serious rapper, but also having a lot of his songs being about his penis. So he's kind of got that Lonely Island vibe, but also it's kind of almost... He's not as much of a pure joke as the Lonely Island. Mm. It's hard to explain. He kind of skirts that line. And he just released I think it's a 10-part sitcom called Dave, because his real name is Dave. And it's kind of semi-autobiographical about him trying to become... he wants to become the best rapper in the world. But the whole joke is he's white. So he can't do it. But it is genuinely a very funny sitcom. It's all on iPlayer, only 20-minute episodes.
Oh, really?
And it's kind of the best way to describe it is, for me, it's kind of like Atlanta, but more straight up a sitcom. So it's almost like Popstar crossed with Atlanta, mm-hmm. if you're into that.
That sounds interesting.
I am definitely into the idea.
Yeah, I would. It's all a big part of it will be, I quite like him. But if you don't get on with him as a character, you will fall off it fast.
Right.
So it's one of those where it's... I think you'll either love it or you'll hate it. But I tend to really like it. And the one other thing I've been doing is this week I've watched The Godfather 1 and 2 again. Because aren't they just maybe the best 1-2 punch of a film ever made? And that was, 7 hours of my week.
Been so long since I watched those films.
I've only watched them both once.
Yeah. Really, they're one of those ones I watch once a year. I've seen both of those probably about 10 to 15 times each. I've still never ever watched part 3.
What? You've seen them many times. You've never been curious enough to just watch part 3.
I have been curious, but I just know in my mind that they're not good. That it's not good.
Yeah, I've never watched Alien Resurrection for similar reasons.
Yeah, neither have I.
Alien Resurrection's all right. It's not great, but it's all right.
I will. Do you know what? This summer might be the summer I finally watch Godfather Part 3.
Just do it, mate. Might be the best 1-2-3 punch.
It might not be, but no. But like those first two are pretty much as close to perfect as you can get, I think. And yeah, it's got me in the mood for today. I'm going to start Mafia 2 because that came out, and I never played any of the Mafia games.
So this is your first time?
I played the first 2 to 3 hours of Mafia 3 and got bored.
Right.
So
I never played Mafia 2, and it's the one where... It's one of those games where I'm actually quite happy someone's vaguely spoiled some of the events in it because they make me way more interested in playing it. So I'm quite looking forward to it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, 2's the sounds only like one I've properly played as well. So
It sounds like a game that shouldn't have been an open world game. Basically,
and that's what I've heard. That it's kind of a really good story, but it's an open world game with nothing in it. So I'm just going to mainline it, I think, because I've heard the story is very good, and I'm looking forward to that very much. What have you been doing?
I finished The Last Dance.
Yeah.
Did everyone finish The Last Dance?
Yeah. Yes. Oh my god, it's so good!
What a brilliant, brilliant show! Now I'm like so into basketball stuff
I've watched so many clips of Phil Jackson being beautiful. I've got it's amazing.
You should, I don't know how many 30 for 30 documentaries you've watched. The ESPN obviously ESPN helped make this, but 30 for 30 documentaries are just unbelievable.
So I've only ever really watched the wrestling ones, to be honest, but yeah, I always enjoy them, and I should really watch more because there's not many sport documentaries that I don't enjoy.
Even if it's a sport, there's some incredible ice hockey ones. I'm not particularly into ice hockey at all, but just the stories. Like, sport just creates the best stories.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's it. Like, this, and that is the thing about The Last Dance, is like, it's coming out more and more, like, that journalistically, The Last Dance is pretty fucking all over the place. Like, Michael Jordan had to have approval on all of it.
Right.
And, like, that's maybe why it's incredibly favourable about him when it seems like a lot of people hate him. Like, that player, Horace Grant, has apparently come out and said a lot of stuff about it, having watched
it. Really?
So, you do, I do think you have to kind of take it as a story. Like, it's a version of what happened rather than what happened. But fuck me, it's well told. Like, it's just... it's fascinating to watch.
I mean, the one part of the story that you can't control is the facts of these games, right?
Exactly.
And what actually
absolutely.
Happens there. And that's part of the story is still really interesting to watch, you know? Like, these moments, especially how much they draw out the last playoffs in the 1998 finals, or in that last episode. And that's just real life. But the way it all sort of happened and fell together is just an amazing story.
Cool. Yeah, it's amazing.
My favorite, if you want to... there's some great 30-30s. My favourite one, though, if you want one, it's called Catching Fire, and it's about a very unfortunate baseball fan who... basically, it's about how a whole city turned against him, because it's about the... it's Chicago again, actually. It's the Cubs, I think, unless I've got that horrifically wrong, but because they were notorious for having this long, long, long drought of not winning.
Hmm.
And there was one playoff game where... their ball was going for a home run, and this fan reached out and caught the ball before it went in the stands for the home run.
Fuck,
so he stopped his own team getting a home run.
Oh, no.
And yeah, it's basically about how his... it's more enjoyable than make it sound, but how his life was just ruined because this whole... like, basically, death threats, everything. Like, so it's so worth watching, though. It's called Catching Fire, if you can find it.
That sounds good, actually.
But yeah, there's so many good ones.
Is there an easy way to watch 30 for 30 in the UK?
There's not. Like, they used to have quite a few of them on Netflix about 5 years ago. BT Sport show a lot of them on repeat. They're doing that at the moment.
I just got a monthly pass for that, so I might do that.
There you go. They've got a lot of them. Otherwise, you'll just have to find them through other means, because there's not many ways of doing that. but yeah, good docs. What else you been doing, Dale?
I've also been continuing my journey in the ocean on a desert island and stranded deep. So I've actually, I clocked in 64 days on the island. And the island, they did about 40-minute long days as well. So I've played a lot
You've
of that
played,
game.
What, over 200 hours of that game?
No, because you sleep at night and it passes the time.
God,
so. But it's probably easily like 20 to 30 hours, easily, probably way more. It's just really... addictive. Like, it's a janky game, there's no doubt about it, but just the idea of this loop of constantly setting these goals of what you want to build next, and then having to gather your resources, and then
I think you'd quite enjoy being a castaway by yourself on an island.
100% that's so obvious.
That's my whole bag, mate.
Dale just wants to be left alone with some wood. That's basically his life goal.
See what I can get up to. Also, Cardi, last time you asked me, have you found Wilson on it? There is a Wilson in the game, which
I did
find.
There is.
It's called Wally, but he looks exactly like Wilson. There's also bosses as well, which is a thing I did not expect in that game.
Bosses?
There's three. There's a giant shark, there's a giant squid, and then there's a giant eel as well. And if you find yourself in certain parts of the ocean, they come up and then you have to deal with them, and they're like a bastard to deal with as well. When you take them down, you unlock parts that can repair a plane, which is the end game, which is how to actually get off this desert island. And I've done that. I did it in 64 days as well, but I still want to go back and still work on my buildings.
I was going to say, I can't believe you left.
Well, I wanted to see what happened there. So I did leave, but I've still got my save before, so I'm going to go back to my island and carry on working on my hut and my boat. My boat is absolute beast.
You don't have to anymore, though. You can go back to civilization. You don't have to live in this hut.
It's very therapeutic and relaxing, mate. Also, I took great pleasure in the fact that in Lost, it took them 108 days to get off the island, and I did it in 64, so... who's the expert? Yeah,
absolute king.
Is it Would you actually say it was a good game? Would you recommend it?
I would recommend, if you're into that sort of game, if you're into survival games and you like the idea of it being based on a desert island where it's like lots of beautiful scenery and relaxing sounds, then absolutely check out. If you're not into survival games, then ignore it, because that's what it is. Yeah.
Just play The Witness if you're
Lost. It took them 108 days to get off the island.
So this is complicated, Joe. You want to go down this road?
No. I'll look it up for myself. Not.
For the first time, it took certain people 108 days to get off the island. Yes.
Seems like
they did
not
go back.
Enough.
Oh, they went back.
They had to.
Are you going to ask me what I'm doing?
I was thinking... Because I think Dale knows this. I've never actually watched Lost.
Yeah,
I was thinking about doing it because I do have the time.
Yeah.
It's a toss up between that and Better Call Saul.
And despite what some people's opinions are about late seasons, the first like two seasons especially are phenomenal television.
Yeah,
like
I remember season one being like the best thing I'd ever watched at that time. Just being like, this is insane.
Yeah,
maybe I'll do it. Maybe I will.
You should do it, man.
Do that. Just for you.
Yeah.
Joe, what are you doing for me?
I'm almost at the end of all of Schitt's Creek, which weirdly I don't think I've ever talked about on here. Have either of you watched Schitt's Creek?
No. I haven't, but I've heard from multiple people that it's very good.
It's fucking amazing. Like, I don't understand why no one talks about it. Like, particularly in the UK. Like, it starts off... I think it does have a problem of starting off in a way that you would just completely expect it to, which is very rich family loses everything and is forced to move into a motel in a town they own as a joke, and the town is called Schitt's Creek. And for the first little while, it is just fish out of water comedy stuff, and you're like, eh. Eugene Levy's good, and it's his son. Plays his son in the show, who's also, well, they're all great actually. It's the mum from Home Alone, Catherine O'Hara. She's incredible in it.
Mm.
And it's just that for a little bit. But what it does really well is just builds those into... You think the show is going to be about them constantly trying and failing to leave, when actually pretty soon you realise, oh no, this is just a show about them becoming better people and actually becoming a part of this community and like not being dickheads anymore. And while being very funny, it's also just like incredibly heartwarming and has amazing character developments. You're just like, this is really satisfying to watch. And it's just those 20 minutes, like 15 to 20 episode series, like banging through it. And so we got to the end of what Netflix had, and then the final series just turned up, and I've got about 3 episodes left, and I'm well excited.
That was a good time.
Sounds quite an easy watch.
Yeah, really easy. And like, it doesn't kind of go in very much for like special episode type stuff, but there's moments of real like heartwarming interest, like just because you've gotten to know those characters so well, so nice things start happening for them and you're like, fuck, this is really good. And also like, this will turn off a certain segment of the population. Very progressive politics and very nice. And just like, it's a really nice thing to watch a show that's like unafraid to have gay characters treated totally normally. Like, there's almost never a moment at which anyone treats a gay person differently for being gay. And it's just like, yeah, this is just a world where it's good for once. And you're like, oh, well done. Like, we don't have to have whole things about it. It's fantastic. And I've also been... I've finally gotten past where I got to the first time I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and then some. And that game is really good.
Oh, yeah.
But it is too big.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I've got that, ever since Valhalla, I've got that itch. And I'm thinking now, so I did do about half of Odyssey. I'm thinking I might just do Origins instead, because I only played couple hours of that.
It's still pretty big as well.
And
though.
But it's shorter than Odyssey by a distance.
And I've seen you can do that kind of semi-hack thing where you can get the DLC, which gives you like a level 40 character, which makes it play... So it doesn't make you invulnerable, it doesn't make it too easy, but it does mean all your like stealth skills, like your blade and your bow and arrow skills, are like insta kills.
Yeah.
So it plays like old Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it also means that you don't have to just constantly grind side missions to continue the story. You can just play the story, which is what is my biggest issue with Origins and Odyssey, is I can't just go main mission to main mission.
Yeah, I have whacked Odyssey down to easy, just because like the combat is not the thing that interests me about that game. And so just being able to get through it and see what it has to show me is what I'm getting now. Also, that game completely changes because at level 20, fall damage doesn't hurt you anymore. And so I'm literally like, I'm seen from a fort and I'm jumping off a mountain. Like,
just does a tiny little tuck and roll at the end and it's absolutely fine. I love it.
Just kick so everyone good. Off the edge of the mountain as well. That's the best way to kill anyone in that game.
So good. It's just a great game. And also, I think I already said this, but Cult Cosmos is just the best system in an Assassin's Creed
game. I'm tempted to go back to, actually, because I think the DLC came out that I never played. I 100%
the Fate of Atlantis one.
Yeah, I do want to check it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Mafia, then Origins, I think. That's my thing. Yeah, but for now, it's the end of Search. Inside, it's the UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search? I wasn't on last week, but blimey did I give it a good listen. And I enjoyed it very much, so well done, Joe.
Great, thank you.
I also do enjoy Jamie Martin's Portmanteau Overwatch game quite a bit.
You've got to say it correctly.
Otherwise, what's the point? It's my own spin on it. Deal with that. Do you know what? Fair play to him because he does some blooming great clues for that game. Because it is hard to find ones that work.
Those clues last week were so good, and it made me really sad how badly that I was listening
and just shouting to myself because I know it's always easier when you're listening and not on, but I was just like, I know.
There was a couple of them that were so very frustrating.
I'm almost certainly going to completely shit the bed now that we're playing it, but at the time it was difficult.
So I've got five here for you, in case you don't know, if you need a refresher of the premise. Oh, I'm doing it, by the way, with games, not films.
Okay.
Do you know what my favourite bit about last week was, by the way, just before it was the moments of silence where they're trying to work out and you could just hear Al scribbling on a piece of paper. I really enjoyed it.
But if you need a refresher on the premise, you just mash up two game titles and then guess the title from the clues of the blended synopsis that I've arranged. It's quite hard to think of obscure clues, so I hope these aren't too easy. But at the same time, I listened last week and wanted people to actually get them, so... There's five here. I've got a sixth if for some reason you don't get one and there's a tie. But here we go.
Let's do it.
First one is, a pair of plumbers set off on a heartbreaking adventure to save their father.
Super Mario Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
He's got it.
Fucking bastard.
He's got it. One to Joe.
That was really fast.
Before we go with a...
Brothers Tale of Two Sons is on Xbox Game Pass, but only for like a week longer, and it's one of the best games released in the last generation.
It's so, and it constantly baffles me that is an incredibly told story and one of the best games I've ever played, and the next game he made was A Way Out. So, there you go. Don't play A Way Out. Well, you might enjoy it. I know people that enjoy it.
Play Brothers A Tale of Two Sons first.
Yeah, definitely play Brothers A Tale of Two Sons. Okay, the second one. A young woman returns to her creepily empty family home and uses her phone to catch every monster inside.
Uses a fuck con.
I know what this is, but I'm forgetting the name of the game.
There's a couple of games the first one could be.
I think I know what it is.
Why not?
Oh my god, can you read it again?
A young woman returns to her creepily empty family home and uses her phone to catch every monster inside.
I cannot think what the monster thing is.
Oh, you can't think of that one.
I know what the first one is.
What do you think the first one is?
I don't want to say it.
Okay.
So Oh my god. Remains of Edith Finch. One of them.
It's one of those. Yeah, it is one of those.
So Gone Home, probably. But what is it? What is the second game? Oh my god.
I'm gonna have to
Yeah, I'm not going to get this.
The only thing I'm thinking of is Days Gone Home. But that's obviously not that game. You could have done that one, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to end the pain. Yeah. It's Pokemon Go On Home, as in gone, the going gone.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I would never have got that.
No, yeah.
Also, I didn't realise that we were doing synopses that could be the other way round.
Yeah, tricky.
Well, is that a rule?
It's not a rule, it's just how it was last week. So I've internalised that as a rule.
I will tell you then for the rest of them, it is the way round.
Okay, okay.
I've had a look, if that helps. Okay, so no one for that one. So it's 1-0 to Joe with 3 left. Okay. Stealthily navigate through a plague-ridden city before venturing to Mars to overthrow the oppressive EDF.
Oh.
I don't know how this fits together.
Oh, I'm blanking on the name of the second game. Ugh.
Stealthily navigate through a plague-ridden city before venturing to Mars to throw the oppressive EDF.
What is the name of that game?
How do these fit together?
I can't think of them. Okay, Gary, you're probably gonna have to call this, mate.
It sounds like Joe's got both games,
and they're unless
I'm unless I'm forgetting a different game for the first one.
I don't know what game you're thinking.
Well, okay, so Red Faction's obviously the Mars bit. One of the Red Factions.
Yeah, that's my problem.
It's Red Faction. Well, yeah, but that's the second one, so you know the start of it is.
Okay.
It's
not
going to
be
word
red. It's going to be a word that ends in R-E-D, isn't it? So what is that?
It is definitely that, yeah.
Stealthily creep through a plague-ridden city.
Yeah.
So I think I must be thinking of a different game.
For a while, but it's probably not that.
Plague-ridden.
This could be one that... You know, we were shouting at Matt. I think Matt would be shouting at you right now.
Probably, yeah. Stealthily creep through a plague-ridden city.
Try and give another... I could give the studio, but that would instantly tell you what it is.
Okay.
It's had a sequel.
It's not what I thought it was then. I thought it was A Plague Tale: Innocence.
Oh, it's not... you would primarily play this game stealthily, but it does give you the option to not.
Dishonored Faction.
Oh.
There we go. Dishonored Faction Gorilla is what it was. There you go. I'll give Joe that. It did need a bit of help.
It needed a little extra push. But I just, I had it in my head that it was A Plague Tale the whole time, and I was just going, how does that fit?
There we go. I don't want to be too obvious.
That's
2-0 to Joe with 2 left. Can Dale tie it up?
Probably not.
The start of a new era, or era, depending on how you want to say that, for a long-running stealth-turned RPG series that tells the tale of a small boy side-scrolling his way along a sinister city hiding a dark secret.
Assassin's Creed Origin Side.
Jesus
yes,
Christ,
Joe. Got it. There we go.
My paper, and that was as far as I got.
Did help that we were just talking about Assassin's Creed Origins, probably.
Yeah.
3-0 to Joe. So there's one last here, Dale. It's just save some face, mate.
It's all right. I can live with it.
One more.
It's fine.
I don't know. You're looking quite distraught. play as a platforming robot in this ultra-violent tale of a death row prisoner forced to participate in a series of snuff films.
Play as a platforming robot, did you say?
Yep.
I'm blanking on what that is. Obviously got the second part.
I thought it might...
No, it's not Rayman.
Rayman Hunt would be good.
I had it lined up.
Yeah, not far away.
I know, right? It's something man, but...
Platforming robot.
Oh, is it that old
He's had
Mega
about
Drive
15
game?
games.
Oh. Oh, it's not who I thought it was then.
God, it's going to be embarrassing, this one, isn't it?
Ratchet and Clank.
Platforming robot that's had 15 games.
I left out a bit. I'll put back in the bit that I thought made it a bit more obvious. So, players a platforming robot who inherits the abilities of his foes in this ultra-violent tale.
Oh, Mega Man Hunt.
Oh, fuck
it is Mega Man Hunt.
I was
Let's
right.
All go
that is
on a Mega Man Hunt.
I was doing like Chibi Robo, Astro Bot. There's a lot of platforming robots.
Yeah, I was thinking of this Mega Drive platforming game at one point.
As close as I got during that without the help was Ratchet and Clank Hunt.
I'll throw in the bonus one just because I had a good portmanteau and I just couldn't think of a good clue for it without making it really obvious, but we'll do it anyway. Race through the streets, taking down everyone in your path before hopping out and fighting your enemies with swords. That's actually the wrong way round, so switch those around.
Wait, say it
Race
again.
Race through the streets.
I'll do it the right way round for the...
Okay.
So, fight your enemies with swords before racing through the streets, taking down everyone in your path.
Okay.
Well, I feel like I know the second one.
Yeah, same, yeah. Down enemies with the
sword. The first one, I didn't make it too obvious. It is a fighting game.
Oh, okay. Oh, Soul Calibur Burnout.
It is Soul Calibur Burnout.
Fucking hell.
It was a good mashup. I just couldn't think of a good way to do that clue without making it too hard or too easy.
Soul Calibur Burnout is good.
It was enjoyable.
And would play.
Yes. I very much enjoyed that, and I hope everyone else did. It's a good game, as usual. Send in your endless search games to IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. For we shall play them, I promise, eventually. But now we've got a trio, not one, not two, but three hilarious near-death stories.
If you didn't
Joe
listen
wanted
to last
drowning,
week, I did finish
Joe gets
by
drowning.
Asking people to send us their funny drowning stories, and it turns out lots of people have them.
It's mad. Right, okay, I've got the first one. It's from Jonathan. He says, "Hi, IGN UK crew. Long-time listener, first-time writer. I've got a pretty funny, almost drowning story."
I love that this was the catalyst
this
for
is
the
niche.
First time to write in.
Yeah.
I do just want to do Gossip Mongers now after listening to quite a few episodes this week.
Mate, I would love to do
We've
Gossip
got our little mini section here.
Yeah. Back in high school, I got the okay to go river rafting with my best friend and his family, even though I was not the strongest of swimmers in any stretch of the imagination. The rafting trip was going okay, no swimming required, until the second night, when a good portion of the group decided to ride a floating mattress on a slower section of the river into a big-ass rock for fun. I, not wanting to be a downer, joined in, grabbed the mattress, set up for the rock. Everyone bailed off in time. I maybe not so much. I get sucked up and get spit up. I was swimming as hard as I could, and I could feel the river winning until I heard the words, "Swim, you pussy, swim," yelled at me by my best friend's dad. I don't know if I swam to him or if he swam to me, but those words ring in my head every time I go swimming.
Oh,
cheers.
Your best friend's dad saying that is so sad. You'd be really embarrassed.
I'd never go to his house again.
I do want to point out, they say a good portion of the group decided to ride a floating mattress. As if the mattress floated by and they...
Just saw the mattress and someone came up with a genius idea.
Yeah. We're getting on it.
That is a weird set of circumstances.
It's so weird.
It doesn't happen every day. I've got one here from Jake Jericho, which is a fantastic name.
Unbelievable.
That's a wrestling name if ever I've heard it. Do you think he's related to Chris Dale?
Probably not, mate, considering that's not his real name.
But, you never know. You never
In storyline purposes, maybe he's related.
Do you reckon Jake Jericho asked people to call him JJ?
I would do. If I had the initials JJ, I'm JJ.
Actually, though, I don't know. I don't ask people to call me DD.
Yeah, but that's because it's the name of the sister from Dexter's Lab, so that would be horrible.
You do ask everyone to call you Big D, though.
No, I do not.
He asked.
I worked with a guy once.
Shagger.
I worked with a guy once who called me Day out of nowhere. He said, "All right, Day," and I looked at him and I just said, "Don't call me Day," and he never did again. That was fine.
Actually, do you know what bothers? No, it doesn't bother me. That's a stupid way of saying it. Something that I have noticed that I am confused by. Have you been watching/listening to the Match of the Day podcasts?
No,
I haven't.
They're getting increasingly better as they get used to doing it. But it's Gary Lineker, Alan Shearer, and Ian Wright. And Ian Wright calls Gary Lineker Gal.
Gal.
And I've never heard that for
Gal.
Gary
Gaz
before.
At least.
Like Gaz. Gal. I've heard. Gal. So he got, Gal. So he'll refer to Alan Gal. I'm like, what is this?
And Gary never brings it up.
I've never heard him question it once. It's weird.
I'd love if he does it off mic though, as soon as they stop recording.
Yeah.
Ian, like, can I have never. A word?
Stop calling me Gal. Worth listening to that podcast, even if you don't like football, for the excruciating detail that Gary Lineker goes into about when he shit on the pitch.
What, how many times has he done that? Is he doing it in every episode?
No, he did it in one episode, but I can't remember which one. But he really goes into the mechanics of it. It's quite impressive.
That's good.
I've got Jake Jericho's drowning story.
Oh, yeah.
And so he says, so when I was about 10, I was on holiday with the family. Early one morning, I went to the pool by myself for a swim. At 10, going to the pool by myself.
That's all right.
Maverick.
Shallow pool.
When I got... I was far too responsible. When I got there, I had an interesting thought. This is going to go badly. What happens if you put armbands on your legs? I tell you what happens.
Yeah,
without thinking it through, I placed the bands on my legs and jumped in the pool. To my horror, my legs went... feet up, poking out the water, and my head went down.
No shocking. Shit.
I don't know what you're expecting. I do not know what you're expecting to happen there. I know you're only 10, but...
No, you should know better at 10. Come on.
Not being able to get my head back up to the surface, I panicked. My escape plan soon became clear. Walk on my hands, the width of the pool, and drag myself up the other side. Just trying to imagine what's going on there.
Just like doing a handstand in the water.
Yeah.
Just crawling.
It felt like ages under the water, but I finally made it to the other side and got out. Surprisingly, no one else at the pool even seemed to notice the trauma I just suffered. So I did what any kid would do and went back to the caravan for breakfast and never told my mum what happened. To this day, I've never put armbands on my legs again. No, you wouldn't, would you?
Notwithstanding, how did no one notice the fucking maniac child putting armbands on his legs?
Was there no lifeguard at this pool? What's going on? It does make me think, though, if you put armbands on your arms and your legs, can you just lay on the water? Does that work?
Yeah.
Depends on the size of the armbands.
Hmm. Yeah, if you were small, if you were like a 10-year-old, it might work.
Yeah, I reckon it would.
Hmm.
Strap one to your back.
Hmm. Get one on your neck or something.
Yeah, get one on your neck.
Thanks for that, JJ. And I apologise if you hate being called JJ.
Double J. I've got one from Matthew. I'm going to say Galeza.
Looks right to me.
Hey, all. So I was young, probably in the 6 to 8 years old range. What a bizarre way. Yeah. You're referring to your own age like you're a bit of clothing. We took a vacation to Disney that year. I always loved the water, and we were at Typhoon Lagoon.
So it was just such a great time you had writing this, reminiscent about the past.
I was playing with my sister, who's 8.5 years older than me, so much bigger and stronger at the time, in the shallower part of the wave pool when she dunked me or threw me or whatever. I went under. At the same time, two, looking back, they were probably intoxicated, men were wrestling and landed on me while I was still under.
Oh, no.
I panicked a little bit, but when I came back up, I looked at my sister and promptly yelled, "You bastard!" Probably not like that. As loud as I could. Everyone within listening range went silent and stared at me. I was immediately escorted and tattled on by my sister, following a stern talking to about language by my parents. When we got home, my dad immediately cancelled HBO.
That'll teach him.
And the other
6 to 8 years old. That 6-year-old loves his HBO.
That's probably where he's picking up the words.
Oh, man, he's just watching Oz. Oh, that's really funny. I mean, it's not technically a drowning story, but I do... What a Like, if you watch that in slow motion, it would be like art. Like, little kid gets thrown by a giant sister. That's how I'm thinking. And then two wrestling men fall on him.
For the wrestling,
we can, branch this out to general holiday stories.
Bastard!
Let's actually just put this out to either A, holiday stories, and B, any near-death stories.
What about, holiday disaster stories?
Yeah, have you got any? Holiday disasters. Disasters?
I remember we went to Barbados when I was a kid, and when we got there, there was a big, mad cloud. I'd gotten really obsessed with death, and I was like, "That's going to be a hurricane. We're going to be in a hurricane." And my mum reassured me for some time that there was going to be no hurricanes, even though I knew there was going to be one. And 2 days later, there was a hurricane.
Oh, no.
Absolutely terrifying. Like, everyone come into the rooms just being like, we have to work out how to evacuate.
They named it Hurricane Scrabbles after the genius child who predicted it.
The meteorologist boy of Barbados.
Once I have a disaster, but there is a family moment that still is referenced to this day. You know, it's a good one when every few months or so it's referenced, because it's just particularly bizarre. I think I was like 10, and I was probably being very, very, very annoying. Like, because like, it takes a lot for even my parents to get to breaking point. So I must have been particularly just, I think I was probably like harassing, like, can we go to the beach or something, for probably like 7 hours non-stop, and they just had enough. And we were staying, I think it was like a self-caring, so you bought your own food, and they had a freezer, and in this freezer was just like a pack of Bernard Matthews turkey slices that were for some reason frozen. I'm not really sure why they were frozen.
That is unusual.
Because we were only there for like a week, unless they were going off date the next day or something. But it got to the point where my mom was making a sound, like trying to defrost this Bernard Matthews turkey, and I was being so annoying that she just threw the frozen slices at my face.
Like, odd job!
Across the room. And I just remember it, and it was that second of, like, her being more, like, me being upset and confused because I'd
been hit by a turkey.
Nothing like that had ever happened before. Like, put out, my parents have never laid a finger on me apart from that one moment where I got
just good discus action.
That one moment where I got frozen Bernard Matthews thrown at me, and yeah, to this day it's kind of a threat. If I'm being too annoying, it's like, I'll get the frozen turkey out.
Weirdly, it's less literal, but one of the defining moments of, because my dad was always the one to shout, and my mum, if she shouted, you knew it was actually serious. And I remember my brother annoying her so much that she grabbed his shoulders, and she was so clear she was going to swear at him, but she self-censored herself as she was about to swear and call him a fucker probably, and just went, "You turkey!" And
that's good.
That has stayed in our family lore forever.
I love that.
It was great.
Good stuff. No disasters there? You've just lived a carefree life.
I can't think of anything. I'm sure there is something now, so maybe I'll update next time I'm on.
Excited. Yeah,
there you go. Have a good think.
IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com with your holiday disasters, because we are a daytime radio show now.
we'll just do that, yeah. Because sometimes, you know what, at the moment, sometimes there's not a lot of games and films to talk about.
True.
So we do have to just talk about turkey and swimming pools. So, yeah, thank you for listening. Oh, I haven't even thought about, we have to play some music. What did we have this week? Oh, we could have the COD, the Warzone music from COD.
I do sing it a lot.
There you go.
It's a tune.
Oh, do you know what? I think the end of The Last Dance, when they played Pearl Jam's Present Tense, was some of maybe the best chosen piece of music I've seen to end something.
Yeah.
When it kicks in with all the highlights of Jordan just being ridiculous. Or Pearl Jam are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
Anyone agree with me on that?
I do. I like Pearl Jam.
There we go. I'm not saying, should we have some Pearl Jam? This is just going on now.
Go on then. Yeah.
Let's have some Pearl Jam. Why not? Let's live like it's 1990. Bye.
You can spend your time alone, redigesting.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that, as well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.